If you want to fulfill your potential or help other people fulfill their potential so you can feel great and get the rewards and respect you deserve, then I want to give you a free physical copy of my new best-selling book, because you deserve to know the truth. The most important things for fulfilling your potential are not tips, tricks, hacks, therapy, coaching, meditation, breathwork, goal setting, journaling, or finding your why. I know it sounds irrational because we're so used to hearing about using these things to help us fulfill our potential. But these approaches are outdated and ineffective, and they are based on a big lie.
To find out more and get your free physical copy of Dr. John Finn's best-selling book, The Habit Mechanic, go to tougherminds.co.uk. This Tougher Minds podcast offers another more detailed discussion focusing on one of the concepts within the elite business athlete. That's the name of our ebook, which is available for free on the Tougher Minds website. The Elite Business Athlete explains how performance secrets from global sports stars can be beneficial and transformative for everyone. The book provides an overview of key concepts that boost resilience, personal performance, and well-being. In this podcast, Dr. John Finn discusses the performance psychology technique referred to commonly as mental imagery. It's used within the Tougher Minds training programs. We started the podcast by asking John Finn to explain more about mental imagery and the famous golfer who was well known for using it.
Well, Jack Nicklaus probably describes it the best. It's like going to the movies inside your head. I think sometimes that can sound confusing for people because it's not exactly as if you're watching a movie in your head. If you can think of, well, what does your house look like? And actually, how many windows do you have in your house? Can you count those up? And this is a task that everyone I know can perform without actually seeing their house in front of them. They can create some sort of visual representation of something that's physical and real inside their head, even when they're not looking at that particular thing. So other language we might use to describe imagery are, you know, visual memories, seeing what your first car looked like, seeing the hospital where your child was born, seeing the church where you might have got married. And, you know, people talk about daydreaming as well. So some people might be thinking about England having to take penalties in the next game, the European Championships, and how that might unfold. So it's kind of this visual representation inside your head. But actually, the way that sports psychology, and former colleagues like Professor Paul Holmes, who developed the PETLET model of imagery, is that imagery isn't just necessarily about a visual thing. So that's often why the term visualization would be critiqued, because imagery can be a multi-sensory experience, you know, including sounds and touch and smell and even taste. You know, boxers report tasting the blood in their mouth before they go into the ring to try and get them fired up, almost imagining they've been punched in the nose. So imagery in its fullest understanding is a multi-century understanding. And going back to Jack Nicklaus, he has his very vivid description of the outcome of a shot that he creates in his head before he actually hits the shot.
And in the Elite Business Athlete, you include a brief quote from a book called Brain Rules, which talks about the human senses being very much dominated by visuals and what people can see and all these type of images you've just described. So they do fundamentally then have a very powerful influence.
Yeah, there seem to be. So there's an extensive literature on learning styles But actually, there isn't, doesn't seem to be any extent to the validity and reliability of the foundations of that literature. So the suggestion that different people have learning styles doesn't really stack up when you look at that in experimental design conditions. When we're starting to understand the brain, we're actually seeing that the sensory cortex, where our senses live, if you like, is dominated by vision. We call this the pictorial superiority effect. And it's thought that up to a half of the sensory cortex is for vision and pictures. And when we're talking about pictures, the way that I would describe that is that right now, whatever you're looking at is like a picture that you're looking at. You're creating some sort of picture of it. So you can look at pictures in real time with your eyes open, looking at what's going on around you. Or you can look at pictures in your mind's eye, things that might not be real in the moment there, but you've got some sort of visual representation of them. And you're continually switching between these two things. Evolutionary, it would make sense that vision is dominant, because, you know, our eyes have been very important in the evolution of Homo sapiens. And it seems that what's most appealing to us are the 3D moving visual images, like you would see in real life or like you might see in a movie. That seems to hold our attention in the most effective way. So the idea of vision and images being so important for, or so dominant in our sensory cortex, certainly gives us, we can certainly rationalise that by thinking about how humans have evolved. You know, language is quite a new thing. Even the way that we read words is in picture format. So there is, people have probably seen this, where you see a sequence of words put together, but the letters in the words aren't in sequence. Yet you can still make sense of the words, because your picture's just actually taking pictures of the whole word, not necessarily every single letter. You know, there's some really nice designs around the power of the visual. So there's some research, which I think John Medina talks about, where expert wine tasters, given a white wine, but it's dyed red. So these experts, so-called experts, they taste this wine, and yeah, it's definitely a red wine, and it comes from this region, and it's a white wine. It's just the colour throws them. So pictures are powerful, and as well as seeing those pictures through our eyes in real time, we can generate them in our mind's eye as well.
And so we know then that it's part of life, of everyday life. We know, as you've just outlined, it's very dominant and very powerful. And also because of what Tougher Minds has shown us about human predisposition, if you like, we know that the images that you might focus on, see in your mind's eye, or choose to look at, can be things that are perhaps worrying, threatening, and tempting to us. So that can be problematic for people.
Yeah, so the idea with imagery and making imagery into a skill is that you can start to get control over the images that you have. So if we're being resilient, we might have good control over our imagery. So that when we recognise that we're paying attention to things in our mind's eye that aren't helpful for us, that we can switch our attention onto something else. So, yeah, it's all leading us back to CBT, really, getting control of our cognitions, and part of our cognitions are our images, visually orientated.
So say, for example, somebody might be feeling anxious about an experience they've had professionally or at work earlier in the day, and when they have a quiet moment at home, those images come back to them, and perhaps distract them and are disruptive for them. Is that the practical implication of it?
Yep. So it lingers. Your brain keeps paying attention to it because it's kind of threatening. And it's not like watching a Hollywood movie in your head. You know, sometimes these images are very faint, but it's taking you back to thinking about that person who's upset you or that situation you found yourself in. And so don't worry if you can't see an absolutely clear picture in your head. That's not essentially what imagery is. It's almost like a trace of a memory, if you like, which has a visual orientation. Some people are very good at it. Some people are not so good at it. But you know, I've done extensive research on imagery. And everyone I've ever screened, they can do this. It's just sometimes some people are better at it than others. And you can learn how to get better at it. I guess that's the key thing.
Yeah, and the crux of this specific chapter in The Elite Business Athlete and a lot of what you do, as I understand it, with Tougher Minds is helping people to address this. And you use the notion, the concept of, you extend, if you like, the idea of a film or a television program by almost using the idea of changing channels on a TV screen to help people address this.
The way that we use our TV metaphor is just like you've got a mini TV screen in your head. In order to think about the images. And I wouldn't want people to think Tougher Minds is an imagery training program. It's not. But it's central to how we think, because cognitions, in relation to the science that we come from, they can be framed as pictures or words, which is self-talk or imagery. And part of taking control of your thoughts, regulating your emotions, which are driven by your thoughts, or they drive your thoughts, they're interconnected ideas. Part of that is taking control of this visual element. And in fact, the way that we think about controlling images, we think about your brain's a little bit like a computer. You can kind of take control of the computer, and you use words and pictures to take control of it. So that's the way that we think about it. And if we're going to get good at taking control, we might need to plan out the words and the pictures that we're going to use to help us to take control in advance of the situation that might cause us a problem. So that, if we're sitting at home in the evening and we're getting stressed out, we might have a phrase that we say to ourselves, and we might have a visual thing that goes with that phrase that actually helps us to refocus our attention away from the unhelpful thing and onto something helpful. Jack Nicklaus very clearly had a very clear thinking visual strategy every time before he hit a golf shot, and that was born out of him recognizing that under pressure he wasn't playing as well as he knew he could, so he had to develop some strategies to help him to have a better chance of performing at the level in golf that he could.
And he went to the extent, and again, this is in the Elite Business Athlete ebook, which you can download from the Tougher Minds website, tougherminds.co.uk. Jack Nicklaus actually created the short film, if we want to stay with the film metaphor, and he actually saw the ball going in the hole. Him making the swing, this kind of detail was what was involved in his use of managing imagery.
Yeah, so painting a very rich, vivid picture, you know. And it's the richer the picture we paint, the less chance of the unhelpful thoughts coming in there. And if you really pack, imagine your brain's like a cup, it's got the capacity of a cup, it will always be full of something. So if you can fill it full of the helpful stuff, then it's going to be more helpful to the skill you're trying to perform. It does sound a little bit magical imagery sometimes. And I think the story that I'm recalling in the book is that I vividly remember this, going to play golf with my dad as a younger kid in my dad's van, his work van, and on the radio there was, I guess, Five Live, and John Daly was leading the British Open, and they were talking that he was using, you know, imagery techniques, visualization techniques before the shots, as if it was. Well, I think they're almost questioning the legality of it. It's like, this is illegal. This can't be legal. Him, you know, should he be banned from doing this, from seeing the sort of shot that he wants to hit? So I think it's often feels like quite a supernatural, weird thing for people to be doing. But, you know, all the top performing athletes report doing this, from David Beckham and his free kick work. Johnny Wilkinson is a huge, huge advocate of it, and even Wayne Rooney, I know, talk about using imagery to try to help them to control pressure situations.
Yes, you can perhaps imagine, well, perhaps some people more readily can imagine how very specifically useful it is for the execution of a sporting skill or in a sporting context. And, well, perhaps the golf journalists and golf broadcaster scepticism at that time said more about the nature of the game than much else besides, but certainly I'm sure you're well aware that these kind of approaches are very prevalent in professional golf. That sport then, how might a professional person make best use of this kind of understanding? How might they manage their imagery to best effect in their daily work?
Well, we talk about helpful attentional control. It's kind of the heart of what we want to teach people, how to hack their brain. An imagery is a hack strategy, so it's something you can use to get more control over your thinking and hopefully build that into a habit. So the way to use imagery, or a practical way to use it, is as a trigger to help you to pay attention to something that's helpful for you. And you can plan to use a trigger. So you might be sitting at your desk in the afternoon, you know, trying to get the work done, thinking, oh, why, you know, this is boring, it's rubbish, I want to go home. But having that visual trigger of the big goal you're working towards, and the current work is part of that project, might just help you to, you know, refocus on the thing that you want to achieve. So it's recognizing difficult points in the day and then having a cognitive strategy, which will include imagery, to help you to manage that particular challenge. And it can be very powerful. And the aim is that that becomes a habit, you know, that you use this to get your attention onto something that's helpful. And a good example of another example of how you might use imagery is, if let's say you're going for a run and your legs start to hurt, it's not that helpful to keep paying attention to your legs hurting and, oh, my legs are hurting so much, this is so difficult. That's not helpful things to be thinking about. So you've got to deploy strategies like imagery to give you a different attentional focus onto something that is useful to pay attention to. Like, I'm doing really great here, you know, it's nearly over, keep going for the next. How many? Imagine my legs are feeling nice and light, like this kind of thing. So, you know, often we're using imagery in combination with words or self-talk, which I think we're going to talk about in another time. But it's about planning out these strategies so that they're helpful for you in the thing that you're trying to achieve. When people are trying to go to sleep at night, they use counting sheep, don't they? That's an imagery strategy, where they're trying to get their attention away from maybe the things that are stressing them out onto something that's not non-threatening and might actually help them to drift off. So again, that's an imagery strategy. We have activation, which we talked about in a previous podcast. Again, that gives you a visual representation of your physiological kind of alertness, which is a helpful image to have. Tell me to use sort of images to relax or to pump yourself up, to activate yourself. So there's some examples of how you might use this skill in order to manage yourself every day.
Yeah, and just a couple of final points. Again, you'd emphasise, I suppose, then that for anyone looking to use this in the way you've just described in their own lives, the detail of the images is important, and it's also important that you practice the skill you've just described.
Yes, because these are skills. So we're trying to work up from knowledge to skill to habit. I spent 8 years doing a PhD on what's called meaning-focused coping, which is essentially reframing difficult situations. And my habit of reframing things, I'd say, is a lot better now than it was 8 years ago, because whenever I started my PhD, because I practiced it a lot, you know. And this really is about practicing. If you practice using unhelpful imagery, like always seeing in your mind's eye the worst thing that can happen, you get really good at doing that. If you practice in your mind's eye, kind of controlling the image or getting your image onto something that's helpful for you in the moment, then you get really good at that. So this is a neuroplasticity thing. It's about practicing. And I guess with the advent of mobile technology and the extension of kind of video and imagery capabilities, then in a way your smartphone is an imagery training device that you can use to help you to get better control over imageries.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Tougher Minds podcast, which discussed mental imagery, a concept within the Elite Business Athlete, the free Tougher Minds ebook, which explains how performance secrets from global sports stars can be beneficial and transformative for everyone. You can download the Elite Business Athlete from tougherminds.co.uk. Remember, it's totally free. Thanks for listening.
If you want to fulfill your potential or help other people fulfill their potential so you can feel great and get the rewards and respect you deserve, then I want to give you a free physical copy of my new best-selling book, because you deserve to know the truth. The most important things for fulfilling your potential are not tips, tricks, hacks, therapy, coaching, meditation, breathwork, goal setting, journaling, or finding your why. I know it sounds irrational because we're so used to hearing about using these things to help us fulfill our potential. But these approaches are outdated and ineffective, and they are based on a big lie.
To find out more and get your free physical copy of Dr. John Finn's best-selling book, The Habit Mechanic, go to tougherminds.co.uk.